Okay, good morning. Happy Friday and the end of the term and all. Let's see. So the material that has already been covered is all of the material. So what my plan was for today was to review, and I'm happy to focus it more on things that you're more interested in if you have particular topics or types of problems you're interested in. Otherwise, I guess I will just start by summarizing the material that we've covered so far, that we've covered in the term, and then work on problems that you think are interesting. The only other announcement is that I will be in my office, so this Zoom room, during regular class time on Monday if you have further questions. Office hours, class time on Monday. But of course, you can also email me. If you have questions. Okay. So then let me just briefly summarize the material that we've done. So we've studied various spaces. And in the end, the ones that turned out to be important were, say, things like the derivatives. And let me just work on the interval 0, 1, just because why not? The other intervals look similar. We also had functions that could be differentiated, and we had a bunch of good examples of that. You should have examples of each of these types of functions that live in each of these spaces in mind. Those are good things to have. And we had a derivative that took us from differentiable functions and gave us the derivatives, of course. Right, and let's see. So then we took us quite a while, but finally we were able to show that the continuous functions are in fact derivatives, that every continuous function is a derivative. So that was some work, but that was useful. Much earlier, we were able to show that derivatives, that differentiable functions were continuous. So we got that embedding there. So we had that relationship. Finally, we added we tried to build the inverse to the derivative, which was the integral, and we ended up with some space functions on which we could do that, which we called the oops, the Riemann integrable, not the integral Riemann. So the Riemann integrable functions on this same interval, and again we found that continuous functions were examples of that, and we also found that the integral did a pretty good job. It gave us most of the continuous functions. Actually, it gave us all of the continuous functions as long as we added the restriction. So these are continuous functions that are 0 at 0. Okay, so that's almost all of the continuous functions. And this is the integral, and this is a bijection. Okay, so they're almost the same thing. They just differ by that one dimensional thing, which is what the value is at 0. All right. Which you recall from Mass 21 meant that you just had that integration constant. It was everything you got when you integrated. Okay, and then this continued. So then we had contained in the differentiable functions, we had the continuously differentiable functions. And we kept going until we ended up with the infinitely differentiable functions to infinity. Okay. Which were pretty nice, but we found that there were even a few, a nicer class still sitting inside of here, which were the C omega, the power series functions or real analytic functions. So these are a power series. Or a real analytic. Okay, so that was the collection of spaces that we ended up studying. All right, and then we had some various properties of functions and then properties of sequences. So properties of functions that we should be able to find examples of and also to be able to prove. And those are things like continuity at a point. Differentiability at a point. Integrability, so that doesn't make sense at a point, but that's on an interval. And then most recently, we worked on ones that weren't quite integrable, but were close. And so those were either absolutely or simply improperly integrable. Either absolutely or not, improperly integrable on an interval. And of course, in this case, the interval was finite. But for the improper one, it's possibly infinite. OK, so those are properties of functions that we studied. And then the other thing we did was to build a new function. So we had a bunch of good examples. I'll list some examples in a minute. But the one way to build them was by sequences. And so the other thing that we were interested in was properties of sequences of functions. OK, and so we had that they could converge. All right, and we had a variety of different ways in which they might converge, OK? And they could convergence, it could be in C1 norm, OK? And let me just write them in order of how strong they are. So if it converges in C1, that implied that it converged in the uniform norm. So that was another way that it might converge. Okay, and if it converged in the uniform norm, that implied that it converged pointwise. Okay, that was another way it might converge. And it also implied that it converged in the L1 norm. So those are the four different ways that we found that things might converge. Okay, so they could converge to a function. And except for pointwise, for these norms, we also had a notion of having a sequence be Cauchy, okay? So, or Cauchy in any of the three norms. Okay. Right. Okay, and then we had some examples where this worked out really nicely. So Banach spaces. That we ended up with, let's see. So those were things like the continuous functions. That's really the basic one that everything flows from with the uniform norm. And let's see. But more generally, we could take the bounded functions. On 0, 1, that, and actually, I guess let me mention what we did in our homework. So that it was that together with not just bounded, but also being derivatives with the uniform norm. That one we found was also Banach. And then bigger still, we could just take the bounded functions themselves, and that was also Banach. So we had these three different Banach spaces using the same norm. But then we could also build ones using different norms. And so we also had C1 with the one norm, the C1 norm, right, which is the last one that we did. And then we did one other thing, which was not quite Banach, the norm Bernier space. And that was the continuous functions with the L1 norm. We showed there's a norm linear space. Actually, as a quick aside, let me mention that we can add one more Banach space here. So I'll just do this in red because this we didn't cover, but this is an aside here. So I mentioned that we're interested in how close the Riemann integrable functions were to being a Banach space. And we actually have come pretty close to getting that Banach space, which would be covered in a more advanced class, but that's the L1 function. So L1 of 0, 1 can be just defined to be the set of all F functions on 0, 1. So that there exists a Cauchy sequence Fn, which converges pointwise to F. Okay, and also in L1. But that doesn't quite make sense, so we're going to call it L1 Cauchy, which does make sense. Okay, so it's a L1 Cauchy. These could be Riemann integrable or continuous. Either one works, actually. Let me say Riemann integrable, but I could have just written that continuous there, and that would also give the same class of functions. And that almost works. And the trick here, and the reason we didn't cover it in this class, is then we have to identify some things. And we say where F is equivalent to G if the Fn and Gn above have the difference of their L1 norm going to zero. Okay, didn't fit in as much space as I gave it, but anyway, so that gives us the final Banach space that this was kind of headed toward, but we built most of what we needed, but we didn't, this class doesn't quite finish, but it'll be in the next class you take on functional analysis. So it just adds enough functions to this one. But in any case, that, as I said, was an aside. So I can go back to what we did cover. But what we did cover was that at least if we look to the continuous functions, we at least get a norm linear space. But we found a bunch of sequences that were Cauchy and not convergent, right? So that's how we built these functions that were improperly integrable, for example, was the kind of thing that turned into there. And that's where improper integral fits into the framework. Okay, sorry, that was an aside. Those are the spaces that we looked at, and the notion of convergence that we had, and also the classes of functions that we had. So the only other thing that I thought would be good just as a summary is we built a bunch of examples, and it's really good to have those examples in mind when you're working on things. So useful examples, let me just remind you of a bunch of those. Useful examples. And they're useful examples of two things. So one, they're useful examples of sequences. And then secondly, they're useful examples of functions. So both things come up. And so they're both useful to have of sequences of functions and just functions. Okay, and for each of these, I don't think I'll bother to do it, but you can and you should. You should keep in mind which of these have these continuity properties, which ones are continuous, which ones are differentiable, which ones are integrable, which sequences converge in each of these four ways. So those are the things that you should think about with respect to these examples, okay? But in any case, there are examples that we've seen before. Let me just remind you what they are. So for example, we have example 9.6. So that's the sequence F sub n is equal to x squared over the square root of x squared. Only you can't quite do that because it has zero. So we add 1 over n to it. So that it's just close to zero. All right. So, and the graph then is something that looks almost like the absolute value of x. And the function that it converges to And you should remember in which senses. In some senses it doesn't, some senses it doesn't. Good thing to remember. And this converges to the absolute value of x, which, of course, has that graph. Okay? And again, that's a good one to remember all these properties about. All right, let's see another example. Let's see, 13.89. I'll just draw a graph of this one. So fn of x has a graph that looks like this. And let's see, let's go from minus 1 to 1. And this is minus 1 over n to 1 over n. And it goes from, let's say the value here is minus 1 and 1. Okay, so it's getting steeper and steeper. And it converges to the function that's minus 1 for negative numbers, 0, 0, and 1 for positive numbers. Okay, and once again, you should try to remember in which senses that converges. And which properties that function has at each, both the limit and the ones that convert to it. Okay, that's a good example. Another good example, let's see, 12.22. F sub n of x. So this is one, again, let me just graph it. So it's zero from a zero to one over n. It's very tall from a one over n to two over n, and then a zero again. And it's tall enough, its height is n, but this area is always 1. Okay, and that's built so that it behaves, behaves well with respect to the, or actually poorly, but anyways, it's so that it affects the L1 norm in a way that you can understand. Okay, and let's see, and that converges pointwise to 0, and you should work out, of course, and remember in which senses it does that. Okay, all right, let's see, other good example. So 11.15, so the Dirichlet function. So this is a function that 1 or 0, 1 if x is rational and a 0 otherwise. Very hard to graph. Let me try sort of like that. Okay. But there were also some nice functions that converged to that, and that's something to keep in mind. So you can write this as a sum of, this is a fn of x is equal to 1 or 0, but only at finitely many points is it 1. And otherwise, it's 0. And there is such a sequence that converges to this function. And that was, I believe it came up in a homework problem. In any case, it's a good one to keep in mind. All right, another one that came up, let's see, I guess this is the next example in the text, 11.16, that's the Thome function. And again, you should remember what's different about these. So this one was 1 over n if x is rational and equal to a over n and 0 otherwise. So it's a lot like the Dirichlet function, except the heights aren't all the same. They get smaller as you get to more complicated rational numbers. And so this one, again, it has a similar sequence that converges to it. But again, you should remember they're different, right? So one of them is integrable, the other is not integrable. So that's why we consider that new Thome function. It's a good counterexample for lots of other things. Okay, let's see. So what other good functions came up? Right, so there were also the really nice functions. So these ones that were power series, right? So these are the ones that had all the properties that you could ever want. And so those are, let's see, I guess that was a 10.1 power series. So those things that form a sum of a and x to the n. Okay, those are just very good examples to remember. And of course, our favorite examples are things like e to the x, sine x, cosine x. Those are good power series to keep in mind. They are often, whoops, sine and cosine, whatever, I'll just write one of them. And then 1 over 1 minus x is the other example that was often a good counterexample to things because it does not converge in as large a radius as the other one. Okay, and right. And then the, so these are analytic. Okay, which gave them lots of nice properties. Besides being very easy to differentiate, you could even integrate. You could go forward and backward with these. Okay, so that was also useful. All right, so the other fun example was this Weierstrass function. So w of x So the sum 2 to the minus n cosine of 3 to the nx n equals 0 to infinity. And that again had lots of interesting and nice properties and that we were able to understand precisely because we saw it as a limit of a sequence. I guess to make my diagram work nicely, this is really a sequence of functions where we truncated it and it goes to this W. Okay, right. And then, let's see, then for the, okay, let me see. Here's another class of examples that are good to remember. So 8.9, 8.10. So these are things of the form x to the a sine of 1 over x. Those had interesting properties with respect to being continuous and with respect to being differentiable. But you can also think about whether they integrate well. Okay, so that's another good class. And then finally, maybe I should have put it up here near the power series, but let me put it down next. So 10.33, this is the useful one to have in mind. So this is something that's smooth, but not analytic. And it's compactly supported. It's actually a really useful thing just to have for later uses. But in any case, smooth, but not analytic, and compactly supported. And really, most of the time, you just care that such a thing exists. But you can write it down very explicitly, so we do. So that's f of x equals e to the, because it's got to be partly defined. So e to the 1 over x squared minus 1, or 0. And it's e to the x squared minus 1 if the absolute value of x is between 0 and 1, is a less than or equal to 1, and otherwise it's equal to 0. So it looks like this, it's 0 for a while, and then it does something nice and smooth, and then it's 0 for a while for infinity again. And it goes from minus 1 here to 1, and the height here is 1. That's a very handy function. Okay, let's see, almost done here with my list. Yeah, that's about it. About the only other example that came up was the examples that we needed for improper integrals. And so let me just note those. So those are things that look like, let's see, I guess they were 12.25. And those are things like 1 over x to the p. And the question here is, are they integrable? Okay. Have improper integrals. Integral from 0 to 1, and the other one integral from 1 to infinity. Okay, so those are the two, those are the main examples that everything is based on. Okay, let's see, so that's a very brief summary, I hope. Okay, so I'm done. So I do have some problems if people are interested, but I'm also curious if there are types of problems people are reminded of being interested in based on this summary. And I should say that by now, there are both a practice exam and an old exam posted with solutions. So those are up. Okay, well, maybe I'll just try a couple of examples then. And yeah, if it appears to you that there's a type of problem that interests you, let me know. Well, okay, maybe I'll start with one that's related to what we just finished doing then. So here's one. Let's look at an example using a Taylor series. So this is something we just finished doing and we did a long time ago. All right, so it's good for both things. And also I'll bring in this smooth function as long as I'm at it. Show that, well, actually, maybe I'll rephrase it differently. Let me find a bound on them. A g of 1 if Okay, so I'm going to define g in the following way. So g is equal to, so I'm going to, let me see if this notation makes sense. I'm going to take so j infinity, I'm sorry, not j 100, 100 times I'm going to do j to the function f of x. And I'll take f of x to be this function I just gave a second ago. So e to the 1 over x squared minus 1, or 0. And I'll define j to be the integral from minus 1 to x of f of t dt. So in other words, this is equal to, I'm going to take 100 integrals. And I have f of t dt in here. And this will be the integral from minus 1 to x1. And then I'll take that, the x1, and then this, et cetera, integral minus 1 to x2, the x2. Okay, and I end up doing 100 integrals. So this will be x100 dx100. Okay, so does that make sense? So that's under, I'm just going to integrate it 100 times. Okay, and I end up with a function, and I want to estimate its value at 1. Okay, so first of all, why is this a Taylor problem? Okay, well, let me start with a little hint there. So first of all, if I do the Taylor series about minus one, does anyone remember what the Taylor series for this function is at minus one? I think we worked that out. Well, let me start with the easier one. What's the Taylor series for this function at minus two? If I center it at minus two, what are all those derivatives? Let's start with this back. So, so recall, if I take this function at f and take the nth derivative and evaluate it at minus one, then I always get zero. Okay, so that's a computation that we did, I believe. So this is a homework problem. So that you always get zero from that derivative. Certainly, that's true if I take the derivative and evaluate it at minus two, because this is just zero, right? So that's always zero. So that means that the power series, p sub n of x is, of course, it's the sum f sub n, sorry, f nth derivative, sorry, r derivative of, and I'm going to act at c, so c equals minus one. So this will be at minus one, and then divided by r factorial. Times x to the r equals 0 to n. So that's what it is. But this number here is just 0, right? So that's just a 0. So the whole thing is just 0. So it's not a very interesting power series. This is just 0. Okay. Right? So why is that helpful? So what's r then? Yeah, thank you. Someone noted the correct answer there for that. That's zero. But so what is R? Remember, R is the error. So R, by definition, is just the function minus the approximation. The approximation is just zero. So this is just a function. So now any bound I get on the error is just a bound on the function. Okay. So for example, the Lagrange bound is a bound on F. Okay, let's see. So that's what happened to F. So what about G? So I took all these integrals. What happens to the derivatives of the integrals there? Well, we know that the derivative of the integral is just the original function, right? So all this does is shift. So this is also true for G. So similarly, the nth derivative of G at minus 1 is equal to 0. For G, also, if C equals minus 1, then P sub n of x is equal to 0. And once again, R sub n of x is equal to G of x. OK, and so now we can just apply the bound. Oh, right. And so which one am I going to do? I'm going to take the hundredth derivative here. So R100 of x is equal to g of x is equal to, and this will just be the Lagrange bound. So that says that I have to take the hundredth derivative of g, evaluated at some zeta, right? And then divide it by so let me get it exactly right here. Get my off by one. So 100 factorial, and then multiply it by x minus c to the 100. Okay. And so then we get a bound. So this is in less than or equal to. Okay, and what's the hundredth derivative of the hundredth integral? If I integrate 100 times and then differentiate 100 times and apply my fundamental theorem of calculus 100 times, what do I end up with? Exactly, I'm back to the original function, right? So I'm back to this f. And here's f, so its maximum value is 1. So the maximum value for this 100th derivative is 1. So this is equal to, f of zeta. And let's see, x is equal to, x and c is equal to minus 1. So that's x plus 1. To the 100 divided by 100 factorial. Okay, and then finally, the maximum value that f of zeta takes is, someone else found it also good. The maximum value that f of zeta takes is 1, of course, because that's the maximum value of f. And so then this is less than or equal to 1 times x plus 1 to the 100 divided by 100 factorial. And what I guess we were actually asked for was g of 1. So that's less than or equal to 2 to the 100 divided by 100 factorial. Okay, so there's an example of using the bound that Lagrange gives for the Taylor expansion in a kind of a novel way. But in any case, that's an example. And it also referred back to this very useful function. Okay, any questions about that example or any other types of examples people are interested in seeing? Okay, all right, let me try and go on here. So let's see. So how about one about uniqueness of integrals? All right, so here's a good example. So problem. So I want to find all functions. F of x, and then I'm going to give a bunch of properties. Where does the 2 to the 100th come from? It's not arbitrary. No, it's not arbitrary. Where it comes from is that I was asked. I get the original problem here. I was asked to find g of one. Right, that's where I wanted to bound was g of one. So I plugged in x equals one here. Up here, x equals one, and that gave me. Okay, that's really hard to read, but that says x plus one there. Okay. So, and where that came from was that this x is x, of course, but c was equal to minus one. So this x minus c is x plus one. Okay. And then I plugged in x equals one. So this is really, so this two is really one minus a negative one. That's where that came from. Right, and that's and this is exactly the term that comes up in the Lagrange fact. Other questions about that one? It's kind of fun to try to compare that to the other bound, but anyway, they're the same in this case. Okay, any more questions about that one then before I move on to this other problem? Okay, so I'm going to find all functions f of x, and then I'm just going to give some properties. And the idea is that we'll use our uniqueness of our near uniqueness of integrals to find all of them. All right, and it'll be a vector space, and we can create this dimension also. But in any case, we can find them all. So and here are the properties I want functions f with. Okay, let's see. So let's work with one of our favorite functions that we know a lot about, the exponential, because it's so easy to differentiate. So I'm going to take the third derivative of f equal to some multiple of the exponential for some constant k. Okay. And let's see. And let me also say that the value at zero is equal to the value of the slope at zero, which is just equal to zero. Okay. And I just want to find all functions that have that property. So answer. Okay, let's see. So this one is one that you can do using some calculus. So what would be, how would I do that? I claim I can just start integrating. Okay, and I'm going to get it. So let's see. So if we work our way back, what does f double prime have to be? So f double prime of x prime is equal to k e to the x. So what is f double prime of x? Okay, well, remember that the antiderivative is almost unique. It differs only by a constant. So that was one of our theorems both, and it was one that you used a lot in Math 21 without having proved it, but we proved it this time. And so so it's this plus some constant A for constant A. Could be any constant. And then we can just keep going. So similarly, F prime is K times E to the X plus AX plus B, constants A and B. And finally, F is just K times E to the X plus AX squared plus BX plus C, or three constants. Actually, I guess there's also the K. So this gives me all the ones that satisfy this first property. Okay, and then I just have to look at which of those satisfy these properties, and then I'll be done. Okay, so then I just have to make them satisfy the next two properties. Hence, F of 0 is equal to K plus C is equal to 0. So C is equal to minus K. F prime of 0 is equal to K plus B is equal to 0. So B is equal to minus K. And we're done. So F is equal to K e to the x plus ax squared minus kx minus k. So this is a two-dimensional space of functions. And it's just all linear combinations of x squared and e to the x minus kx minus k. Okay, so that's another way to say it. Okay, any questions about that example? Okay, let's see. So so maybe we can do one that is similar to the Weierstrass function. So that one has some nice things associated with it. Right. So so here's a good example. So this is a Weierstrass-like problem, but the Weierstrass function, we took a very specific one, but there's a lot of freedom there. Okay, and let me just illustrate that. So problem. So let's show that. If I take the sum 4 to the minus n, n runs from 0 to infinity, a sub n cosine of 3 to the n x, then this converges pointwise. F of x, and I want to prove that that's in C1 of R. Okay, so it should be a differentiable, continuously differentiable. But I haven't told you what the A's are, right? So if I claim there's a lot of freedom, let me just say that the A n is nth digit of pi. Okay, so I don't know a whole lot about them, but I know something, right? They're so they're between they're some 1 through 9. 0. Okay, so that's what I know about my ans, basically. There's some complicated sequence of them. All right, and so let me call that part A, and then part B. Find other ans for which this is not true. All right, let's see. So so if I want a sequence to end up one time a differentiable, what do I want to have for the, what kind of convergence do I need?
Uniform, right?
Mm-hmm. Uniform, and also I need the derivatives to be uniform, right, to get this one. So that's right. So I need uniform convergence. Of the partial sums and their derivatives. Okay, those are two things. And this is also C1 norm convergence. So that's what I need. Okay, and so I just have to compute those partial sums and their derivatives and see if those are convergent. Okay, so let me start with the derivatives. So derivative so let me call this something so I have a name for it. Okay, so then the derivative prime. Okay, so this will be the sum. And let's see, so when I differentiate the, get 3/4 to the n, an sine of 3nx, and I guess there's a negative sign up front. Okay, so that's the derivative. Okay, and and now how am I going to see that that converges uniformly? Even though I don't know much about these A's. So what's the important fact about these A's here?
We have a bound on them.
Exactly. That's the key. They're bounded. That's the important thing. And so that's a since an is less than some number, it's less than or equal to 9. So we have an actual bound. So it's bounded. Okay. So then we get the absolute value of this f prime of x is less than or equal to sum of 3/4 to the n times 9 times 1 because the sine is bounded and the an are bounded, so we get this whole thing which converges. Since it's a geometric series and 3/4 is less than 1, that's the key. Okay, so we have that converges. So we have uniform convergence. Okay, so so that gives us A and that time. So I'm about to stop, but let me just answer B. So how could I make it not work?
I think the easy answer would just be make it unbounded, but anything that grows faster than the geometric series should work, right?
That's exactly right. That's exactly right. Anything that grows faster than the geometric series, and as you say, just choose something easy that does that. So, for example, use a n equals 4 to the n, something like that. Okay, so then this thing, or 8 to the n, so then clearly diverging very fast. Okay, so that's it. Okay, so I'm out of time and I will turn it off, but I will stick around and I will also be here Monday. Enjoy the weekend.